that's around you, the people, the person sitting across from you, knowing what that does to you, and making them become a part of that. Like, we make the people on the streets and the people around us become a part of our contraband by having them bring it in and risk their life.
Yeah, facts. And it's just like my dad, I'm going to throw this out and say hypothetically, if my dad brought in some shoes and then all of a sudden I had some shoes on and then me and him switch shoes real quick, bam, that's contraband right there. But guess what? I needed some Air Forces Ones and my dad didn't give a fuck about walking away with some Rawlings. You know what I mean? So that in itself is contraband. So it's contraband. It just varies so much, but it is survival.
Hey, they in my ear. I think they saying we got three minutes, man. They in my ear tripping.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Times Like Now is an interview program. Interviews with interesting people that are doing cool stuff. And my name is Trevor Collins. And on today's episode, I'm speaking with Johnny Greco. He is the Senior Vice President of Entertainment Experience and Production with the hockey team from Seattle, the Seattle Kraken. On today's episode of Times Like Now. Hey there, Johnny. How you doing today? Thanks for joining me.
Trevor, thank you so much. I'm super stoked to be on Times Like Now, hanging out with you, my friend, man. Let's do it.
Cool. So how are the Kraken doing? You know, I'm up here in Bellingham, and I've been watching some matches. What's the energy level? I mean, I'm sure you guys are really excited to be up and running now after so long of getting there. What's it like?
The anticipation was insane, and in my own experience is unparalleled, and to get to the point where the puck drops and the season starts, you've already done the work. There's an incredible brand. There's this support system of Seattle sports fans that are just off the charts. But now you got to like drop the puck and get going, and you got to put on the show, you know, for the home ice, and you got to have all the elements within all the different tentacles of our organization, you know, running well. And yeah, tentacles, exactly. And when you start a new season in a new franchise with a new building in a pandemic, I don't know a ton of people who have experience doing that. So I think there's natural growing pains, but there's also some incredible lessons we've learned right away. So it's probably where on some expectations we thought we'd be. And then, you know, some probably we can elevate further, of course, because we want to stay hungry, and some we're really, really excited about. So I think it's a really unique place to be in, and we're looking forward to the next steps.
So you're involved, obviously, with the promotions and the entertainment aspects of the team.
Yep.
What have you been doing since day one to, I guess, to make the fan experience, you know, as big as it can be and as exciting as it can be? What are some of those things? No, I have not been to a match. So what have you put in place there?
So there was a lot of research done before we ever had our first game, just to make sure we honored the game of hockey the right way, just to make sure we honored Seattle the right way, the sports fans the right way, made sure we stayed on brand with who we are. There's such beautiful, wonderful brand equity with what the Kraken is right now, and we want to make sure we do all those things right. So it was learning about Seattle. It was learning about what makes these fans tick. It was engaging and meeting with people from the Seahawks and people from UW and the Mariners and the Storm, all those different teams, like what's worked, what hasn't worked, what's something you wanted to try. And we spent over a year kind of working with our team to build out a show and an experience that Seattle hopefully would be proud of, and a show and experience that hopefully would create home ice advantage for our players to be in the best environment they could be. And, you know, now it's on. Now it's going. So a lot of the things we talked about have come to fruition. Some of the things aren't quite there yet. And we're learning new things all the time. Our mindset going in was definitely, let's be at like 75%, 80% of what we want to do going into our first game, and then be willing to adjust and learn and listen. And that's kind of where we are right now. So we are definitely in the proactive and reactive state. But we're really excited 11 games in about the home environment we've created at Climate Pledge Arena, without a doubt.
Well, that is smart to be flexible that way and to adapt to what you see and to what the fans say. Can you share with me and with listeners a little bit of what is there as an experience? What is some of the things that you're proud of or that you like to highlight of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, the arena itself is just a crown jewel. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is a breathtaking place to call home. It is intimate. It has personality and character. It has an incredible nod to history, retaining the 1962 original roof, lifting it up, building out an arena underneath that's brand new. And it's got all the bells and whistles and technology that you could ever dream of in this intimate space in Seattle Center, which has such a rich history. So that alone is something we're very, very proud of. Then it's the game itself. Hockey is fun. It's an incredible sport for today's consciousness, the speed of how we think and move and our attention spans, I think, especially I think of my own kids, right? Like the game of hockey versus baseball. I love baseball. But as we look at today's world, the game of hockey really feels good with people's span of entertainment and what they like and just how quickly things move. So that the game alone, without any of the music and without any of the promotions, without any of the videos, that alone is worth watching in this beautiful place. But then you start to add some of the elements in the show that we have started to bake out. Like one of the most exciting things that we have is when the Seattle Kraken win a game. And in hockey in general, it's very traditional to do three stars of the game. The top three players of the night come out, kind of, you know, throw their stick in the air, stick salute kind of thing to the fans, and then they skate away. Well, some teams have a player, you know, sign a foam puck and then maybe throw it in the crowd. Some teams have a player sign a stick and give it to the fans in the front row. Well, our group thought of, like, what could we do that's Seattle-centric for this moment? And we said, well, what would be cool there is – how about we do the three stars of the game, but what's Seattle? And then we said, well, how about we have the players come out and they literally sign a stuffed plushy salmon. And this salmon comes out with the player, third star, second star, first star, if they're Seattle Kraken. And then the players throw that salmon into the crowd, a signed salmon from the first, second, or third star of the game you just went to. And it's got a little tag on it that explains, in this case, a sockeye salmon and why
that,
22 inches
Johnny,
is the
that
legal
is,
limit. And
I got to just
interrupt.
That is so cool.
Industry
regarding
and,
the salmon
you know,
in the audience
Northwest
from the Pike's
and
Place
so it's
Fish
educational,
Market.
But it's yeah, also
very
really engaging
Seattle.
And entertaining.
Cool.
So that's an
Please,
element we love.
Please go on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's people seem to be super excited about the concept when we talked about it and we did our research to make sure it wasn't insensitive. And we also did our research to make sure it wasn't too like stereotypical on the nose. And people seem to really get into it. And it got a lot of really neat traction when we had our first win and people saw it. They're like, whoa, what is that? And that was a really good practice that we hope sticks around for a while. Because again, it is educational, but it sure is fun and unique to us as well. You're not going to throw a salmon in any other of the 31 NHL markets because it just wouldn't make any sense. So it's something we get to own. You know, and then as you look at other things in the show, music is so key to this city. Music is so key to the pulse and rhythm of the Pacific Northwest. So making sure that we're playing really cool tunes and authentic tunes to this space, but also just tunes that get people going. Like we do want an atmosphere that gets people energized and infuse them with like a spirit of like that home ice, get loud, but also let's have fun and party a little bit too when it's the right time. So those are some of the elements like we're really excited about. We still have a lot of technical toys to play with and kind of unveil as the season goes. Our brand is this beautiful, sexy, sleek Pacific Northwest mysterious brand. And part of what that means is like there should be surprises. There should be some things you don't know about that just happen. And, you know, we try to cascade our programming and add a little bit to each show and each game and each story we try to tell where there's traditions like our goal song, Lithium by Nirvana, where the crowd gets rocking, we score a goal, everybody gets loud. That's cool. We want to keep that for a while for sure. But then we also want to add little nuggets as we roll as well. And then the last thing I'll touch on is for now, because I feel we're really proud of a lot of the things we're doing, knowing we have a long way to go. You know, our goal horn itself is super cool. It's actually a retired decommissioned MV Hayak from the Washington State Ferry System that started in 1967 and just a few years ago was retired. And we basically brought that horn back and refurbished it, and it lives in the rafters here at Climate Pledge Arena. So when the Seattle Kraken score a goal, there's this really cool nod from the past, the 1960s even, right? Going all the way back to when the roof was first created. And that lets the world
that is commendable.
Know the Seattle
and
Kraken scored a goal.
Is an excellent homage familiar to sound the roots of the building, to the roots of Seattle.
Through this
very cool.
Beautiful
well done.
Chamber here. So
well done,
we're excited about that element as well.
So a little bit about you. Where did you come from and how did you wind up here in Seattle with the Kraken?
Cool, thanks. Well, I know we only have 30 minutes on this podcast, so I'll give you the more abridged version here, Trevor, but I've been blessed on this whole journey. I had parents who supported the heck out of me and let me go to film school. I always dreamed of making movies, making videos, creating those stories, and going to Full Sail University like opened up possibilities for me to then get into my other love, sports. And then you see sports entertainment and what that can be, and you know, very quickly, I'll just run through some of my journey, which was just wild to even say out loud when I start to list it. But I started at 19 with the Florida Marlins. They were the Florida Marlins back then, working baseball, learning how to create mascot skits and learning how to play music for the players when they come up to bat. And, you know, being on a last place team has some perks because you really get to engage the audience and you don't, in that case, really let the sport lead because maybe the sport on the field at that time wasn't that great. So you put a big focus on the entertainment. You know, then I had this incredible opportunity to work the 2002 Olympics, and I actually worked hockey at the Salt Lake Games, which was just super, super cool to be on that world platform with just incredible people. I was so lucky to be asked to be a part of that. Then I stayed with hockey and I went up to Columbus, Ohio and worked for the Columbus Blue Jackets for their third and fourth seasons, which was very cool. And again, it's still an expansion team. So there's a lot of newness to that in a non-traditional market at the time for sure. So loved being there, learning how to kind of, again, hone the craft that we do as sports entertainers. And then I had a chance to go up to Cleveland, and there was a young man named LeBron James who was supposed to be a pretty good player. It was his second year, and we had new ownership come in, and we had a new video board and control room come in. So we had a whole bunch of new toys to get to work with in Cleveland. So I got seven seasons with the Cleveland Cavaliers working and learning with LeBron James and getting really good leadership. And the NBA, it was just it's a storyteller's place, right? Whether it's the players or the experiences, just a wonderful place to be. We also had an AHL team while I was there that started from scratch. So they had their inaugural season, and, you know, American Hockey League is really fun. And it is, you know, for those who don't know, it's a little bit like a AAA in the baseball world, where players can come back and forth there with their affiliated teams, and it's high-level hockey, and it's really, really fun. And being able to do that for a few years was incredible. And then I transitioned to go work with WWE, right, World Wrestling. And living out of Cleveland, Ohio, it was really, really wild. Living out of Cleveland, Ohio, for almost 6 years, I got to be a part of that wild sports entertainment circus. And I learned so many things, and I met so many great people, and was just taught by true storytellers who, on a global scale, were creating content, whether it's social media or for video screens, or even just some of their on mic promotions. They call them like a promo. John Cena is going to cut a promo, and watching John Cena cut a promo in Mandarin because we're in Shanghai, and then in French because we're in Paris, and then in English because we're in his hometown of Boston and he plays to the Patriots fan, and just understanding, you know, the audience and what they want and the brand audience, but then the in the moment audience. And it was just a wild ride where I got to see so many parts of the world, but I also got to just be infused with some really cool lessons I had never learned. And then, you know, following that up, I got to go to Vegas with the hockey team in Las Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights. And that was an incredible ride as well. And I was there for almost three seasons. And that was a really neat place where, again, you expansion team, it's super rare. You get the opportunity to be a part of that. It's super rare. And you learn the audience, you learn the region, you learn what can we do that's a little different, but how do you also, you know, make sure that you tip your cap to the game itself, the atmosphere that people come to love, and while conditioning the audience and being willing to be conditioned as well as you develop the experience. So Vegas was known for a really great home ice, and that was a cool thing. And then I had a chance to go to back home to my home state of New York, and just for a little bit, I got to work at Madison Square Garden with the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers, and that was super cool. Pandemic hit, obviously the world kind of got flipped upside down, and another unique opportunity came to come out to the great Pacific Northwest and join another expansion team here with the Kraken.
For that.
And that leads me to talking to you, Trevor, on times like now, my man.
So there was a kerfuffle of sorts with the Kraken back in, not before you got started, with a local Seattle bar called the Kraken. You know about that?
You know, like you said, definitely happened before I had gotten here. When you have a new team and you have new branding and you have great enthusiasm, it's very common to, you know, you just got to go through that licensing process, and you got to go through it with whether it's music
and I didn't think that you would, but I was just
you know, those kind of things are
I mean, you settled with them and everything's cool, and they kept their bar and they kept their Kraken name, and you guys have your clubhouse bar now and entertainment restaurant and all of that. But the little Kraken bar in Seattle certainly got a lot of press and promotion out of that, and in the end I think it was probably pretty helpful for them to have that attention put on them. I thought that was kind of an interesting side note, sidebar story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's you hope that the rising tide raises all ships, right? If the Seattle Mariners do well, that's great for Seahawks fans. It's great for Storm fans. It's great for Gonzaga fans, right? Like, if you're a sports fan in this community, in this region, like, that's one of the really unique things about Seattle that personally I've found just having traveled and seen different places, is it's really okay to wear a whole lot of different logos as long as you're kind of repping the same place, you know, at the same time. And it's a neat thing where I think if one of the franchises does well, they all do well in their own right. And they all kind of get, you know, they celebrate one another, they champion one another. And I think that's on the field or on the ice or on the court, but it's definitely also behind the scenes on the business side as well, which is super cool. So I think businesses in general also can thrive from, you know, just other businesses doing well, you know? So it's an interesting time with the pandemic and
absolutely
everything else.
So you said because that everyone the Kraken has, are, you know, what, 11
similar
games
challenges
in
and then
right
they're kind
now
of their own personal
how long
challenges
is a
but,
hockey
it'll
season
be interesting to see how
know
this all shapes up on the other side, no doubt. No worries at all. So we're 11 home games in, regular season home games. We've had 14 with preseason and regular season home games right now. So you would normally play 41 regular season home games. It's just like the basketball configuration in the NBA, and 82 total games because you split half games home, half games on the road throughout the course of like a 6-month season, right? Like
I see.
End of September into
there's
October.
There's again
and
another
then, you know,
point
into
earlier
April,
you
early
said
May,
that,
depending on how well your team does, it could
the
could
tentacles
very well go
of the Kraken and I just
as well.
You said icy. That's icy. And another ice pun. Sorry, another hockey pun. Forgive me. Where is the team right now? Are they taking? Is there a break around the Christmas season, or what will they do around that time?
You know, athletes, they do get paid a lot of money and they do work really hard to get to the point of being professional athletes. And part of that you know, all the glam, the glitz, getting able to play this in beautiful games and sports for a career is you do make sacrifices. So whether you're working for the sports team or you're one of the players, you know, it is very common to have games right through the holidays, and on holidays and on birthdays and on weddings and everything else. So their season is pretty steady throughout that 6-7 month, you know, regular season process. This is a unique year just because in February you've got All-Star break and then you also have the Olympics as well. So this season with a Winter Olympics with NHL players, it opens up the month of February in a different way than it normally traditionally would. But whether you're any of the sports, right, there's Christmas Day football games and basketball games and plenty of hockey games on January 1st. We have a game on January 1st. So they try to you try to do the best you can with the schedule, but our team was flying from, you know, the Pacific Northwest to the southeast of the country on Thanksgiving Day to have a game the next day down in Florida. So they play right through it, and the employees that work with it or travel with the team or doing things back home, you know, you kind of work right through it too. It's definitely one of those careers that when you have a passion for it, the late nights, the weekends, the holidays, it's okay. It's a very fair trade-off for sure.
Oh, no, for sure. It is definitely not a life
part either. If you want the more traditional sort of office atmosphere,
so
generally doesn't
in your position,
cater to that very well.
Tell me some of the relationships that you have
without a doubt,
arena with other, let's say, vendors maybe. Who else do you see inside of the ice hockey arena? Who else are you working with? Let's say beer or food or vendors or names from the community that people might find there. Who else are you working with?
Well, Well, you're going to have, that's a loaded question, and you could probably do like a 2-hour presentation on the different tentacles of how that works, right? Like on the production side of things, we have, you know, our own production team for the Kraken itself, but then you're working very closely with the arena operations production people as well, because we may have a game tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, but tomorrow, Battle in Seattle's here, right? A national TV broadcast, and there's the basketball court. So they got to cover up the ice and switch out lights and, you know, basically do a whole, it needs to be sort of relayered for the basketball audience. So you're working with people to just help with the operational side of a Kraken game versus other events that come through here. And this is a very busy building. We're very lucky to have that opportunity. But then you also have different vendors that you work with on that as well, right? There's a lot of content that needs to be built. There's a lot of for a show itself, like you're going to have new video elements that internally we create, but we also outsource with great partners. You're also going to have game presentation elements, like we've got, you know, 30 people on a game night crew running camera, running our audio boards, running our lighting directors, like they all help really contribute to the environment that we're creating, right? So that's a lot of the behind the scenes connections that we have. But then you have the very forward facing scenes as well, right? With our founding partners through Climate Pledge Arena, through the Seattle Kraken. Some are local brands, some are national brands, some are both, like in the terms of like an Amazon or a Climate Pledge. You know, and you also just have, you know, countless really incredible relationships with really strong partners where we hopefully support their brand and there's an infusion and integration with our brand. And some of those are, you know, last game we did a really fun promotion, just Great Balls of Fire with the alcohol brand Fireball. And we dropped these fiery balls from the rafters and fans on the ice below had to catch them in these big laundry bins, right? So it's a fun, engaging promotion, but it's also a symbiotic moment where our partners hopefully really get to enjoy this and our fans get to enjoy it as well. So it's
that's kind of what I was interested in is the branding of the team and who you're partnering with and whatever creative ways that kind of
activate with
promotion
well.
Is exciting for fans and interesting from a corporate co-op situation between you. And that's what I was looking for was other locals from the Seattle area that you might have branding co-op with, any that stand out to you?
Well, and there's I mean, and there's some, you know, huge ones as far as Climate Pledge, Symetra, obviously, Virginia Mason, Franciscan Health, Starbucks, Alaska Airlines, you know, as part of our founding partners, along with Coors Light and Verizon, you know, more on the national scale. But it is really an important infusion of brand awareness. And you do want to stay local, of course, because we want to honor local, whether it's the music we're playing or the beer we're serving, right? But then you also want to be definitely national and really global, right? If you think of social media and you think of the stories that could be told with, you know, oh, we have a Finnish player. Well, that time zone really changes things, but that allows people 10 hours, I'm estimating 10 hours ahead to be able to follow our games at different times, right? So there is a little bit of a 24-hour story cycle or news cycle that we could lean into if you think about it that way. And
that was another question:
stories
is
about players and the game.
What
and the
is the website,
itself,
and where can people
well
find?
Great initiatives,
obviously, if people want to look you up, they could just
well, without a doubt.
Simply search it. But where is the place? Are you guys an Instagram thing, or where else besides a website?
Yeah, if you go into the social world, all of our social is hashtag SeaKraken, SeaKraken, and you'll be able to find a plethora of entertainment and different channels through that hashtag. And I'm sorry, that handle, and that'll open up things. And then, you know, we're constantly exploring new outlets as well, right? Because you're always looking for the next TikTok.
Thank you again, Johnny. And in the last minute, where can people watch the Kraken play?
Well, the easiest way right now is definitely Root Sports. That's our regional sports partner, and we're super stoked for them to be covering our games and rolling with that. You'll see it at time on ESPN Plus as well. And obviously, if you're not in front of a screen, 950 KJR, you can check out Everett Fitzhugh calling that action, rocking it out as well. So you can listen, watch, and hopefully have fun in a whole different way, a whole lot of different ways to check Seattle Kraken hockey out.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the jerseys, the hoodies, the hats.
Yeah.
Branding looks great. The shirts and it looks fantastic. Really good looking image and a great character in that Kraken design for the Seattle area.
We
makes sense.
A lot of work was put into that way before I ever got here, and I was just super stoked that that's how cool the brand turned out to be. But there was research, there was work, and it is a cool looking brand, but there's a why behind it. There was a lot of thought behind it, and it fits again to the Pacific Northwest. It fits in with the Seattle sports teams already, but it also has its own independence as well, and it's new and it's fresh and it's fun, and hockey gear is just cool. So a hockey sweater itself is unlike anything. But there's also just the other stuff, like you said, hoodies, hats, et cetera, that I think our crew just did one heck of a great job with.
Well, thank you once again for joining me on Times Like Now, Johnny Greco, Senior Vice President of Entertainment Experience and Production with the Kraken. Thank you again.
Trevor, thank you. And thanks for doing this podcast all year long. 52 episodes, Times Like Now, man. Super cool. Thanks for having me on here. It was great chatting.
Go Kraken. Past episodes of Times Like Now can be heard wherever you get your podcasts. This is one of the last episodes of the program that I'm going to be producing. Thank you so much for your insights and emails that you've sent. I can be reached, Trevor@timeslikenow.com. Thank you to the letter J, Cody Robertson, for the original music. Stay tuned for next episode, two more in the series. Look forward to speaking with you all next time.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM and translator K282BH in Philomath at 104.3 FM. And we're streaming at the top of our line.
Hi, it's Joseph with Art Focus on KBOO. Don't forget, we're in the middle of our end of the year drive, so please show your support by becoming a member today at kboo.fm/give. Thanks.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Animal, now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is cartoonist Shannon Wheeler. His show of cartoons, Forbidden Love, is on now in the lobby of the Portland Center for the Performing Arts, or otherwise known as Portland 5. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person, Shannon.
I love it. It's a privilege.
So I met you ages ago, right? You did an opera called Too Much Coffee Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The logo guy is a guy whose head is a white coffee cup. And you've been churning out cartoons ever since. You're like, you don't stop. And now in the rotunda of the Art Center, you have a show, and it's sort of, I don't know what these are, 8x5 prints of your cartoons?
No, these are the actual drawings. They're inked paper, hand-drawn, every one of them, yeah.
And so there's what, 60 of them?
Yeah.
And are all
yeah.
for sale?
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly like $150 each?
I priced them all the same. Some of them actually ended up running in like in Wired and Forbes. So, and then some of them I ended up selling to the New Yorker, and I'd redraw them more carefully. But they're all cartoons I've submitted.
But this is kind of your New Yorker work. Is that right?
Definitely what I do is first submit to the New Yorker. They're the top market. And then I submit to Mad, Forbes, you know, like all the tier underneath that. But these are all geared to be New Yorker cartoons.
Right. Is there a term for the cartoon, the small cartoon with one panel and one joke that is popular in the New Yorker?
It's a gag cartoon. That's a gag cartoonist. That's